Hello and welcome back to another recap episode on the Digital Distillery Podcast. It has been a huge month for us here on the team, with a staggering number of events and projects on the go. The sleepy holiday-laden times are over, which somehow is always when I tend to think most about needing one. And not helping my post-holiday pining, I received the super secret brief for the next TDD event in Austria was going to be titled The Tourism Edition in the beautiful mountain town of Innsbruck. So even though we had barely recovered from our Cologne journey to DMXCO, we all hit the rails again, this time in the other direction, and headed for the hills. Now, this wasn't my first time in Austria. Those of you paying attention will note it's the third event there that I've covered. On top of that, since I live down the bottom end of Germany, it's a pretty handy place to go away for a ski or a hike. Ski. I can't honestly say I've ever hiked in my life, except if you count that one time back home when we took a foreigner on a hike in the Blue Mountains. We had no food, no map, and no plan, got cocky, then lost. We had no idea what we were doing and started trying to figure out how to make a camp and survive without warm clothing until one of us went off for a wee behind a tree and stumbled across a road, which turned out to be our salvation. I'd call it more a grateful flea than a hike, but I digress. What I can say from my tourism experience in Austria is that they make wonderful use of the natural features around them. They design very pretty wooden houses, and they can stack firewood as neatly and with fewer gaps than the building blocks of the Great Pyramid of Giza. What I didn't know is that the tourism industry in Austria is almost entirely family-owned, the significance of which will become clear in a minute, and that it's one of the most sustainable tourism industries in the world.
25% of our destination are protected, nature-protected areas. If you compare it, for example, to the average of Germany, where only 7% of the country is protected by law, then it's quite a thing to say, okay, we're on the road to 30% and we want to reach that goal by 2030.
This is Patrizio Hetflash from Tirol Werbung, who is basically in charge of all the tourism marketing that goes into the Tirol region.
My name is Patrizio Hetflash. I'm head of marketing for the brand Tirol. So I am in the quite comfortable position to promote the region Tirol and the brand Tirol as a tourism destination all over the world.
And after coming off stage from his discussion on the brand of the Alps panel, he graciously sat down with me to tell me a little more about tourism in this beautiful region.
Tirol is the most tourism intense region in Austria. So what you will find here are 55 million overnight stays. So that is a third of overall tourism in Austria. It's 12.5 million customers coming each year. So that's a massive scale tourism. It's the most successful tourism destination in the Alps, especially in winter.
Although apparently, as I learned from our talk, the winter tourism focus in Austria really only took over from summer in the 90s. This was due to the widespread adoption of cheap flights, and this meant that people who usually came to Austria from Germany, France, Italy, and other surrounding countries started exploring further afield for their summer vacations. Great for tourism in those countries, not so great for the environmental impact of the industry as a whole.
That's why summer is not the strongest season anymore, and winter has been the strongest season the last three decades, I must say.
And this is the shift that Tirol and Austrian tourism as a whole are trying to rebalance. Partly as a means to diversify and protect themselves from the unpredictability of the changing climate. The natural snow season is getting noticeably shorter after all, although Patrizio assures me that they can manage that for at least a while. But also partly because there's an opportunity for growth here, as consumer values start to shift more towards environmentally sustainable positions. Those same cheap flights that took business away from the Austrians in the 90s are starting to be considered by holidaymakers not just for their cheap price, but by their carbon footprint. And when viewed through that lens, the prospect of a summer holiday in Austria begins to shine. As I mentioned earlier, there is something quite unique about the tourism business in Austria, in terms of how it views the environment and being sustainable. As Patrizio told me after the interview when we were chatting outside at the foot of a jaw-dropping curtain of mountain peaks that you had to crane your neck just to see the top of, 95% of the tourism industry here is family-owned and operated, and family businesses are the exception to the rule of the quarterly or annually profit-focused timelines of modern business. Family businesses tend to think in generations, and when your business relies on the health and beauty of the natural landscape around you, you tend to want to look after it, so your grandkids have a business to work in. Happily, in Austria, they have a fantastic starting point from which to work from. Already, the actual tourism activities in both summer and winter, that's energy and water used in snow production, power for hotels, cable cars, ski lifts, that sort of thing, is nearly 100% run on renewable energy. And as such, there's only one main area where the carbon emissions are coming from.
We must say our main challenge is how people come to Tyrol. Most of them come with a car, and that's increasing the footprint much. So we talk about 80% of the carbon footprint is generated by traveling to Tyrol. So we have to reduce that, and we're really working hard with partners in the train and public transport sector in Tyrol, in Switzerland, in Germany, to increase capacities, to make public transport more attractive, to close the gaps in the customer journey when people come and with the trains, so that they we close those last mile problems that we have everywhere in the journey.
So I guess one of those challenges is working with the Deutsche Bahn, which Phil from last episode knows all about, right, Phil?
Sorry, mate, well, is that a come here? It's on the train.
But back to the event.
The Digital Distillery continued its world tour in 2023.
So after a short taxi trip to the venue, yes, we took a taxi and not a bike. We're still trying to figure out how to balance 32-odd kilos of video equipment, audio equipment, and Consta on a bike down the near vertical side of an Alp. We'll get there. We arrived at the film stage, a co-working type space that had a large showroom as well as a bunch of little rooms which were perfect for the Digital Distillery as it tried a new concept of getting attendees together for hands-on workshops and sessions. Huge success, by the way. Thanks again, AJ.
Eins, zwei. Guten Morgen.
And after nervously poking and prodding at the fancy digital audio desk they had there, when it comes to audio, I'm an analog man, we were set up and good to go for the opening of the third official Austrian Digital Distillery.
So, hallo und herzlich willkommen bei der ersten Digital Distillery in Innsbruck. Guten Morgen.
Now, we already talked a little bit about the branding of the Alps, but the first official topic of the day was Content Overload, hosted by Maximilian Schwinghammer. Bloody rock and roll name, by the way, Max. And although he hosted the opening discussion and moderated no less than two others, Max took the time to sit down with me in our recording space upstairs, aka the kitchen.
Hello, nice to meet you.
To talk about what exactly content overload is and how it is impacting the world we live in.
Hello, welcome. Could you just start by introducing yourself, telling us who you are and what you're doing here today at the Digital Distillery?
I'm Maximilian. I'm from Sonic Boom. I would say I'm kind of an all-rounder or otherwise CEO of the company. Today, I have the pleasure to be at the panel and give my point of view on some strategic approaches, because strategic work regarding digital communication is also our focus on Sonic Boom.
The panel that you were talking on today had the title Content Overload. Could you tell me a bit about what that term means to you?
In my personal perspective, content overload is like my own digital communication behavior. When I'm in the digital universe, I get every second fresh and new information. But when we go on the next maybe meta perspective, content overload is absolutely personally different when it comes to target audience. If you ask a Gen X person, content overload would be, okay, I'm 1 hour on TikTok and I'm absolutely blown away and I'm dizzy. When you ask a person from Gen Z, they would say, okay, 1 hour, easy. I can take 2 hours also.
Interesting. Because that, I mean, that is really an interesting challenge at the moment in advertising in general. We have And especially now with the introduction of AI, there is so much potential for content and more content and higher quality content in theory, especially over the coming months and years. So content overload is clearly your problem. How do we, asking the question, how are we going to cut through with your message? How are we going to stand out above the rest?
Absolutely. So I would say not only regarding advertising, but also communication in general. So like, for example, you drive down the autobahn and you got one billboard after another, maybe good or bad advertising, but there you also get the good or bad information and news. So I think our community, our general approach when it comes to information overload, content overload, is a thing we all have to think about. And in my perspective, we have the opportunity to teach maybe the younger people, also the people around, how to get the key information you will need, which gives you the benefit. So it's more like education at first, and then you can do the strategic approach, how to get the key message to your key or target audience, learning how to filter your own bubble.
Tell me then, you were involved in the panel discussion?
Yes.
And although my German is not wonderful, I got some of your points, but could you give me just a few of your key takeaways then from that panel?
Absolutely. So we had the pleasure to get a keynote of Sinisha from Flora Films. One key learning or key takeaway was storytelling, because storytelling is 22 times more remarkable than only one message.
That's fascinating. Actually, storytelling is something we've talked about before on this podcast and in my team as content creators. I try to create stories in the shows that I'm making and that kind of thing. So that's something that's really close to me.
Perfect.
Do you have your second key takeaway?
I do have three.
Three. Okay, three, let's go for number two.
Less is more. So be strategic regarding your target audience. Try to filter out which channel is the most valuable or also the most authentic for your target audience. And then do a nice and sharp strategy where you tell your story. But you have to be also sharp, because you have to use the right formats for the individual channel. So less is more regarding, okay, I only do two or three channels with one authentic story in the right formats.
Yeah, and that authenticism is really key, isn't it?
That would be authenticity, Phil. You've been in Germany too long.
Exactly. This would lead to my third key takeaway. You have to ask yourself, am I keen enough, as keen as I am telling it in my story? Because as we know, of course, we can make up a story. But if the story is authentic, then it will be also a benefit, an asset for your own company.
So you actually have to decide on the angle or choose the angle of your storytelling so that it aligns with your authenticity.
Absolutely.
Next up was an interview with sustainability expert Katrin Erben about the continued challenges and successes surrounding the industry at large.
Well, I do believe, being now here, I'm in charge of the Austrian National Tourist Office, that actually sustainability is the future. So whatever we do, it's not about quantitative numbers anymore of arrivals or overnights. They are much more, let's say, quality-focused KPIs, criteria that make a holiday what it can be. And that should be an experience that does not harm anybody involved. So every stakeholder should have a benefit out of that. And a benefit does not have to be a monetary added value, but it can also be a social exchange, an interaction of people, an exchange of cultures. Also taking away how you kind of perceive the natural surroundings, landscape around you. So what can a holiday in Austria give you? That's why I think it's very important for the tourism industry itself. And Austria sees it, of course, also as the one topic of the future. And it's we also did decide for not calling it project management on sustainability, because a project always has an end, and sustainability does not.
There was a lot more from Katrin, and you can catch the full interview where she goes into more detail on the projects she's been working on over on the latest episode of one of our other shows, Women Lead with Nadia Koski. If you're not a regular listener to that show, you should be, but I'll put a link in the show notes anyway. With two panels out of the way, it was Mahlzeit, or literally mealtime. Although for some reason in German it's used as a general form of greeting any time between 11:30 and 2 p.m, and not necessarily only said to someone who is in fact eating. Still confuses me, that one. Maybe someone can explain. Regardless, I'm a huge fan of mealtimes, and I'm always excited to see what the Digital Distillery Kitchen cooks up for us at these events. And this particular meal was something special. The caterers were from a local organisation called Fellschaft, who specialise in putting together a wholly organic and sustainable feast, all the way from using beautifully fresh ingredients that would otherwise be wasted due to their appearance, being surplus or otherwise unsellable for some reason. And they also deliver all the food and equipment to the venue by bike, and it's only just striking me now that we should ask them for some tips on how to manage balancing Consta and all that gear on a bike. The food was delicious. Although I did see a look of fear in the eyes of one of the chefs when he saw just how much chili oil I was putting on my Kartoffelstampf, Kraut and Linsen, presumably mistaking me for a weak-mouthed German who apparently only discovered spices in the last century. After lunch, the attendees were split up into groups to go and do the first of the day's interactive panels, where groups worked together to create an AI advertising campaign in 60 minutes. I'll see if I can get some of those campaigns and put them on the website. Stay tuned. The day was wearing on and the shadows from the epic mountains were beginning to creep towards us, but we weren't quite finished yet. I caught up with Gerhard Stollenberger from 360 Degree Perspective about how they were harnessing VR technology to create a new user experience for holidaymakers for them to get a feel for the places they might like to visit.
Thanks a lot. Hi, my name is Gerhard Stollenberger. I'm the CEO, the Chief Experience Officer of 360 Perspektiven. We are a small company which try to realize and 360 experiences for destinations, for tourism, for hotels, but for all kinds of companies. I am in the digital area since more than 25 years, and so how the internet came into the world. It changed everything, and we are now at a situation where the metaverse or the spatial computing or the immersive world will do the same thing. And we are at the starting point at this moment. And with my company, we try to make 360 degree experiences so that a guy like you can put on a VR headset. And can experience Innsbruck before he traveled here, so that he came not so late, maybe some weeks or months or years before.
So basically Google Earth on steroids, as Gerhard explained to me on the rooftop bar at the after party that night, where he was also very keen, upon learning I was Australian, to showcase and pour me seemingly every wine that Austria has to offer, which is quite a number. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Nadia had a spontaneous interview with Alina Heiner after having a chat over a coffee, and I was surprised that when the local Austrian Alina opened her mouth, Australian came out.
It's like, I'm going to let that one slide.
It's Austrian, after all.
We get confused with the spellings.
My name is Alina. I own an influencer agency and social media agency based in Vienna.
And we actually have those signs in Vienna. Where it says no, in the touristy areas where it says no kangaroos in Austria. Yeah. And I think Austrians think it's super funny. Yeah. I'm not sure if funny is the right word.
It's something close to funny.
It's exactly.
Just like the continent itself changed, the way that we talk to the communities changed, and also the whole advertisement industry surrounding it changed. It wasn't that big back then. It just started. And now I think now influencing is a whole business, whereas 10 years ago it was a couple of people starting it mostly for fun and then making it into a living. Whereas now I think people actually do this to make a living in the first place.
Alina and Nadia had a fantastic, in-depth and quite long chat, the whole thing of which is also one of the three featured on that most recent episode of Women Lead. The final interview of the day was with Andrea Dimitru, Director of Media Strategy and Planning at St. Elmo's Tourism. And she got into some of her key takeaways from the Brand of Alps panel as well, as she dug a little bit into our old friend The Cookie and how its continued phase-out is affecting their advertising campaigns.
Well, I'm actually looking forward to the first campaigns that will be completely cookie-less. I mean, we still did not plan a campaign that is completely cookie-less because we will use cookies as long as they're available and just started to add from the beginning of the year in each media plan different kinds of cookie-less solutions to see if they work, and they do. Yeah, I'm looking actually forward for the first completely cookie-less media campaign. And another thing that keeps coming up is environmentally friendly campaigns. I mean, we're still not perfect and we have still a long way to go, but we have the first solutions how to implement campaigns that consume less carbon dioxide.
Thank you to Nadia Koski, who conducted this interview as well, which is also featured on last week's episode. And that was it. The sun was setting, the day was gone, and all that was left was to pack all the gear and head to the beautiful aforementioned rooftop bar at the stunning Adler's Hotel in Innsbruck, which I can highly recommend, by the way, and from which Patrizio told me you can get to more than 90 ski resorts within the hour, including one just 15 minutes away via an 100% sustainable cable car. Thank you for joining me today in Innsbruck, a place I immediately fell in love with and have already convinced my family to rethink their usual desire for surf and sand and to ride the rails here to the mountains for our next summer holiday instead. Innsbruck was the last of our main digital distillery events for the year, but there might be a few more surprises between now and Christmas. In the new year, we're planning to hit London, Berlin and Milan for a start, with more to be announced. I look forward to seeing you all there on the Digital Distillery Podcast. Bye for now.